my computer. Dang it.
That was you. That was you. That was usually me. Usually it's me.
I don't even know how to turn that off. Welcome to the Teen Life Podcast, where we believe that teenagers are not a problem to be solved, but we are here to help you equip teenagers through the power of connection. I'm Carly Duke, and sitting with me is Chris Roby.
Hey, guys.
And we today are coming with several different topics, but one that should be interesting is, Chris, I wanted to talk about dating.
You know, Carly, I saw we were talking about this, and I got real excited about what I wasn't going to be able to contribute because this was not a big player for me in high school, believe it or not.
Oh, dating wasn't your thing?
No, I was kind of a dork. So.
Oh, Chris. Mm. Well, even though dating, if it wasn't your thing, did your parents have any rules around dating when you were a teenager?
It was more like, would you please date someone? We wish you would. Get out of the house kind of thing. Yeah. For me at least, not a whole lot, just because of that, because I was not dating a lot, and I dated more in college than high school, but, I was around a lot of my friends who were dating. I do remember that.
I think my parents, for a while, I wasn't allowed to go on like dates. I could have like boyfriend, girlfriend kind of situation in middle school, but I wasn't allowed to go on dates until I could drive. So 16
okay,
was the rule for my parents, but everything before that was very much doing groups. But I didn't date a ton either. I went on a few dates, but that wasn't really massive. But I also think some rules, like my parents didn't want me to be in situations with boys alone, where there would be more temptation or where there would be more opportunity to get in trouble or make mistakes. So that was kind of one of the things that they set.
Yeah, I feel like I remember that with my folks too, was, you know, making sure you were around other people.
Right. Yeah. And I just think that's an easy one of whether it's friends or if you're going on a date, go to dinner somewhere where you're in public. Like, don't be doing things at home. I wasn't allowed to bring boys into my room, never shut doors, and I wasn't allowed to have boys over to the house if my parents or my family weren't there.
Right. Yeah.
So those are just some easy boundaries, I think, that you can set. But I think it's important, obviously we talk about this a lot on the podcast, but to be asking questions of teenagers, especially if they're dating, or if they're not, at least be keeping up with that, of what's going on.
Yeah, I think also as parents or helpers that we are getting to know the person that your child is dating, you know, like that there's some kind of relationship there, because, you know, with an adolescent, you know, the dating relationship is a new relationship, right? So it's not something that you're doing in childhood. So it's taking, you know, those friendships to a different level and adding potential romantic relationships in. And so for teenagers, they're going to probably do what they see on TV, right? Or they see, you know, portrayed in media, if that's a new relationship. So as adults, we get to model what that looks like. We get to model and speak into what that looks like for those teenagers with those new relationships.
Totally. And so I think just asking teenagers what's going on, where have you been, making sure that your teenager is prepared to have a conversation when it comes to boundaries with a boyfriend or girlfriend, preparing them for that. Have y'all talked about that? What does that look like? Do you have any boundaries in your relationship that make that easier? I think those are all really good things to talk about with your teenager. Sex talk is not necessarily a part of this podcast episode, but obviously at some point you need to be having that conversation with your teenager as well. Some things that I think are just some dating tips and food for thought that I wanted to talk through. I think sometimes, which is interesting what you were saying about your parents, Chris, parents don't want teenagers to date. It's too young. Don't do that until you go to college. However, at least if I were a parent, I think I'd want my teenager to experience dating while they were living at home than for the first time when they were living on their own.
Yeah. Thinking about this in terms of a new kind of a relationship, the dating relationship in high school is kind of practice, right? It's like, let's try this out, see how this works. And we'll talk about this in a second. Likely this isn't going to last. but that's, it's a way that, you know, we can, you know, use our training wheels, so to speak, while we're still under our parents' roof, make our mistakes, you know, have good experiences, but also know that this is not something that's going to last forever.
Right. And so don't force your teenager to date, but also encourage that, because mm-hmm. if they get broken up with for the first time, at least they'd be coming home to you mm-hmm. and not going home alone. Mm-hmm. If they get in a situation that they know they shouldn't be in, they have you to call. Mm-hmm. They're not in a college town by themselves mm-hmm. and don't know what to do. So those are some conversations to be having too. I think at this age, dating is about finding out what traits you like and often what traits they don't like. Mm-hmm. However, I would encourage you to tell teenagers not to date someone they couldn't see themselves marrying or being with long term. Mm-hmm. I think sometimes we put off teenage relationships of they won't last and mm-hmm. they probably won't. And we'll talk about that again in a second. But at the same time, why would they be dating someone that they could see no future with? Mm-hmm. Like, this is a time to explore and figure out, like, hey, I like it when they do this, or I like a guy that treats me this way, or I like a girl that has this personality trait. But if they're dating someone that they couldn't see themselves with at all, that's not helpful.
Yeah, I agree. And I also think, too, if you're dating for the first time in college, I feel like that can be pretty distracting. Mm-hmm. If you are in college to do something. So I think about my wife, who, you know, was a real catch, but she didn't really date a whole lot in college because she was so driven with her career. Like, she was going to, you know, be a physical therapist and dedicating all this time and energy to this. But I think dating in high school allows them to, you know, see what that's like and realize that this is something I want to continue to do or focus on something else. And if you're dating for the first time in college, that can be very distracting.
Yeah, definitely. So back to what we've mentioned it a few times, but your teenagers will break up. Mm-hmm. I saw a stat, and I'll link this in the show notes, but less than 2% of all marriages are actually to a high school sweetheart.
Wow.
That is not very many.
It's not many. And you know, the story or the people that you know that were kind of stick out to you, because it is so rare mm-hmm. to hear that. And I think about people that I know that been together since they were 13 years old. It's just kind of odd to see that, but it's really cool to see that. But you wouldn't want to bank on it happening with your teenager.
Right. And that's what one of my sister-in-laws married her high school sweetheart. And I think that's so sweet, but they are in the minority mm-hmm. of so many. I can't tell you, I mean, different boys that I talked to in high school that don't talk to at all anymore, mm-hmm. definitely aren't with them. And I have so many friends that dated in high school. And I mean, they're just not together anymore. Mm-hmm. That happens, that you go to different colleges, you have different things after graduation. So just know, don't put too much stock in who they're dating right now. As we said, it should be an intentional time, but they're probably going to break up. Mm-hmm. And then finally, romantic relationships can be exciting. Mm-hmm. That can be fun, but encourage your teenagers to spend most of their time with friends. Those are the relationships, as we said, that will last longer mm-hmm. because they're probably going to break up with a boyfriend or girlfriend. But I can't tell you how many teenagers I've seen distance themselves from friends because they're hanging out with a girlfriend mm-hmm. or a boyfriend. Mm-hmm. And then they break up. And then who do they have to talk to?
Friends, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so encourage them. It's okay to have a boyfriend or girlfriend, but be conscious of how much time you're spending with that person.
Yeah, because those friends also keep you in check a little bit too. And if you happen to be in an unhealthy, that dating relationship becomes unhealthy, that friend group can really help them, you know, see that and help them get out of that as well. And so when you're in an unhealthy relationship and you have no other supports around you, that can feel really isolating and really hard to get out of.
Totally. Hey friends, let's take a minute to just talk about three easy ways that you can support the Teen Life Podcast. So the first one is to listen and subscribe. And congrats, you've already done half of that because you're listening to me right now. So if you haven't subscribed to the Teen Life Podcast, go in your favorite app and subscribe right now so you never miss an episode. The second is to share it with friends. This is easy. If you hear a topic that you think they would love, or you just know another adult who loves teenagers, send this on. Pass on the link, share it on social media. We love it when you invite your friends to be part of this with us. And then finally, review us in your favorite app. We obviously love the positive reviews, but we're here for anything. So take a minute to share, to review, and obviously subscribe so you never miss another conversation. For the trend this week, Chris, So September is National Suicide Prevention Month.
Right.
And I didn't want to let this month go by without talking a little bit about suicide terms. Now, we did a podcast episode about suicide several episodes ago. Mm-hmm. We'll link to that one. But today I really want to talk about some terms, especially there's one term that we want to avoid.
Mm-hmm.
And then maybe some other terms. We're not going to hit every single term that covers suicide, but maybe some terms that you don't know what that means.
Mm-hmm.
Or that our listener might be confused about. So, first of all, when it comes to the term or the phrase committed suicide, that's a big one that we hear a lot,
mm-hmm.
but it's also one that you're not supposed to say.
Yeah, this is I'm still pretty surprised how often I hear this, and not only from just people I'm around, but people who I feel like should know better, right? And that's not to cast any kind of judgment, but this term committed suicide is really, really dated at this point.
So if you're listening and you're like, why is that bad? Mm-hmm. I want to explain that a little bit, mm-hmm. but it's damaging because for many people, it invokes associations with committing a crime or committing mm-hmm. a sin. So it makes us think about something that is wrong or illegal, or it's a choice. And I'll link an article from the HuffPost about this as well. But it also ignores the fact that it's often a consequence of an unaddressed illness,
mm-hmm.
like depression or trauma or another mental health issue. And so, unfortunately, when you say committed suicide, you're putting blame, and that can be really harmful for someone who is struggling with a mental health issue.
Mm-hmm. And we'll talk more about this in a little while, about those, you know, what they call the survivors of suicide. Those are, you know, your friends and family who are left behind, right, to kind of pick the pieces up of that. It's already hard enough, mm-hmm. right, when you've lost a loved one to suicide, but to assign some kind of blame or guilt is just a double helping of pain. And so the way, and you'll hear us talk about this a lot in this podcast, and I really believe this, the way we talk about issues like this matters because it informs what we think about it, mm-hmm. right? And so when we shift the way we talk about suicide from committed suicide to what's really more appropriate of died by suicide. It implies, you know, that's the way they died. So I could have died in a car wreck. I could have died of cancer. I could have died of all these different things. That is another mode of death. And it then allows you to talk about maybe how we could have prevented it. What could, you know, what does suicide prevention really look like, but not casting blame.
Right. And you brought up like some physical illnesses, and you wouldn't say someone committed a heart attack.
Right. Right.
You would say they died by a heart attack.
Yeah.
And so just the same way, like you said, died by suicide, I've heard they killed themselves is more direct than committed suicide. But really the best practice is to say they died by suicide.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, and you, when someone, you know, dies of cancer, you don't say, well, what did they do wrong to get cancer?
Right.
You know, or what mistake did they make behind the wheel that, you know, it's a tragedy. You know, it's like, I mean, we have to, I mean, we need to directly say when someone dies, it's a horrible thing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how we want to talk about it.
Right. And if you're sitting there going like, I don't really understand why that's such a big deal, but there's stigma related to committed suicide.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if we can start getting rid of the stigma, more people will be willing to reach out for help,
mm-hmm.
because there's not something negative attached to it. It is a horrible thing. But there is also a lot of mental health illness or other background that we don't understand that's related to suicide. And so talking about it in a way where people feel like, you know what, I am struggling with this and this is something I can reach out for help because I'm not going to be judged or there's not going to be a stigma attached to it.
And we hope this is a real value add for you listening to this podcast, because if you can shift how you talk about this, people are going to notice when you say died by suicide versus committed suicide. I've used this died by suicide language for a long time now, and people still are like, well, wait, what does that mean? Mm-hmm. I've never heard it talked about like that. And that opens up more healthy conversations around this tragedy about how people die, why I don't use committed suicide anymore. And so this is an opportunity for you as a listener to use this to open up a better conversation around this this topic.
Right. Now, when it comes to other terms, like I said, we're not going to cover every term, but one term is cluster. So this is a group of suicides or suicide attempts that occur closer together in time or space. than is normal. So if you have a cluster, might be you've had 4 suicides in the last 6 months even.
Mm-hmm.
And that would be considered a cluster because they're all happening close mm-hmm. together more than what is normal.
Now, tell me more about that, because I've heard this and I've never fully understood if people can connect why that there's a cluster. Is it are they paxed? Is it just a coincidence? I mean, what are people saying about that?
I think it could be both. Uh-huh. So sometimes it might just be something is going on that we don't. Maybe a school, it could happen, is say in a school district, maybe there's something going on behind the scenes, or there's been a tragedy.
Mm-hmm.
And so several kids are happening in that. There's also something called a contagion,
mm-hmm.
which that is suicide risk that's associated with the knowledge of another person's behavior. So whether firsthand through media, I think some people saw after 13 Reasons Why came out that there were some clusters and a contagion. So maybe there's a contagion that happens that then causes a cluster. Hmm. All at once. I mean, even something as simple as, not simple, but pandemic mm-hmm. is something that could be a contagion that then causes a cluster because something is going on
mm-hmm.
that is causing people or teenagers especially to feel like they can't handle it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I think also in contagions, you sometimes see copycat suicides.
Mm.
So if something happens, then someone else will copy that.
Interesting.
Or attempt to copy that right. as well. Now, a lived experience is knowledge gained from having lived through a suicide attempt or a suicidal crisis. So this is someone who attempted suicide or at least thought about it
mm-hmm.
and lived through it. It's mm-hmm. called a lived experience.
I know one of our people at Teen Life, Dr. Becky Taylor, who we've interviewed before, she talks about they interviewed people who've jumped off the Golden Gate Bridge.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't remember if she talked about it on our podcast or not.
I think she did.
Yeah. But just this fascinating insight into people who, you know, because that's a pretty final way to die, right? But once they make that jump, what goes through their head? And the survivors, the people who actually, you know, made it down and survive to a person regrets it right after mm-hmm. they jump. And so it gives you a lot of insight into what this impulsive suicide that most people actually don't want.
Right.
But that lived experience is really valuable.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. And that leads us into means, which are any objects, instruments, or methods that people use to attempt suicide. Mm-hmm. So that could be jumping from a bridge. It could be a firearm. It could be drugs. It could be a number of things. But one of the things that you'll hear a lot when it comes to prevention is taking away the means.
Mm-hmm.
And making sure that they don't have access to something that could lead to a suicide mm-hmm. success. And then I feel like we hear about prevention a lot, but there's also something called postvention, which is activities following a suicide that help alleviate the suffering or distress of survivors.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be the family members, the friends of those who lost a loved one to suicide
mm-hmm.
would be postvention.
And this is a newer space in the intervention world around suicide, but it's a highly valuable service that people don't think about a whole lot, where, you know, this is suicide prevention through postvention,
right.
which is a lot to say. But for the loved ones left behind, we talk about this a lot with in our teen life groups, is if there's a student suicide on a campus, the way that we serve is we want to go on 6 months after the fact
mm-hmm.
and serve a kid, because they're going to get a lot of services right there. But where it really gets difficult is when everyone kind of forgets about it and moves on with their mm-hmm. life, right? And so postvention is that ongoing support of, you know, around anniversaries, around big events that, you know, we're graduating and my friend's not here because they died by suicide.
Right.
And offering that support, that's what postvention looks like.
Yeah. And finally, the final term I want to talk about is suicidal ideation, which you might have heard this and maybe not even known what it meant, but that's thoughts of engaging in suicide-related behavior.
Mm-hmm.
So if someone is having suicide ideation, then they're considering or coming up with a plan for suicide.
Mm-hmm.
And so we hope that these terms help you. We hope that it gives you language to talk positively about suicide, where if you're talking to someone who is struggling with this, that they can feel supported and feel like they can come to you for help. I wanted to talk about a TV show and a movie that by the time this podcast releases, they will have come out.
Mm-hmm.
But we are recording a few days in advance and they are releasing today and tomorrow. So the first is Dear Evan Hansen, which this is a movie that releases on September 23rd.
Mm-hmm.
It's based on the Tony Award-winning Broadway musical. My computer, dang it.
That was you. Usually it's me.
I don't even know how to turn that off. So Dear Evan Hansen is a movie based on a Broadway musical, and it is very much in line with there's a suicide that happens, and it's about kind of that post, I don't even know if it's necessarily postvention, mm-hmm. but what happens after.
Right.
And about a teenager in a high school who are struggling with this, but he's also struggling with his own mental health.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is one that we are going to be watching, and hopefully in a few podcast episodes, we'll come back and talk about it mm-hmm. and what we actually saw. Just from what I'm seeing so far, it's getting lots of mixed reviews.
Mm-hmm.
Some are saying it was a great musical mm-hmm. and maybe not a great movie.
It's hard to make the jump from Broadway to the screen, for sure. But I think that's why it was such a big deal when it came out, was it brought this mental health conversation to the arts, to Broadway. And that hasn't really happened before that. And so a lot of people really resonated with that production.
Yes. And so, like I said, it's a musical. Ben Platt was the original on Broadway, and he's in the movie as well. And so this is one we haven't seen yet, but is something to keep an eye on because it's about high school and it's about mental health.
Mm-hmm.
And so something to maybe if you're looking for a movie, look into this one.
Mm-hmm.
And then also, I'm really excited about a reboot that is coming, and it releases on September 22nd on ABC, which is The Wonder Years.
Yeah, this is in my wheelhouse from being a kid, The Wonder Years. I loved watching that show growing up. It was very coming of age, almost like Sandlot or something like that, where it's, you know, you have these big growing up kind of themes, and it's kind of melancholy, and, you know, but set in, you know, it was the 50s or 60s, right around.
I think 60s.
In the 60s, yeah. So set in a very tumultuous time, but I loved that show growing up.
Right. And I know Fred Savage is helping produce, and he's
oh, really?
Behind this as mm-hmm. well. It's narrated by Don Cheadle, Dulé Hill, who, if you watch Psych, Chris didn't watch that, but I did. Mm-hmm. I loved that show, and he's the dad in The Wonder Years. So it's a reboot, but it is about a black family in the 60s. And so it's taking that concept, but adding another layer to it. And I'm just so excited to see what they do with this and to gain another perspective that I just think I'm hopeful it's going mm-hmm. to be a good TV show, and I will be watching it when it comes out. And like I said, hopefully we'll come back in a few episodes and talk about that as well.
All right, that's a wrap on this one. Thank you so much for listening. A special thanks to Carly Duke and to Kelly Fan for producing this podcast. Also to Luke Cabrera for our awesome podcast music. If you want to know more about Luke and his music, check out his contact info in the description. Well, this podcast is for the helpers, and we really hope you feel helped. If there's something we haven't talked about or a topic that you're really interested in, email us at podcast@teenlife.ngo, and we will do our best to get to that topic. We will see you next week.